بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم، أما بعد. So tonight, inshallah, I'm going to go through a section with regards to the importance on the rectification of one's character. This is of such importance in the glorious deen. Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, he relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman. So look at this incredible hadith. The beginning of the reform of this ummah was due to yaqeen and zuhud. And the beginning of the degeneration of this ummah will be due to bukhl and expectation of worldly goods. So now I'm going to explain inshaAllah. So look what our beloved Messenger said first to Allah alayhi wasallam. He goes, what reformed this ummah at the beginning was two things. Number one, yaqeen, absolute certainty in iman. You understand? Absolute certainty with regards to belief in the unseen. And secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, zuhud. Now zuhud is a very difficult word to translate. But a rough translation would be abstaining from worldly pleasures despite having the capacity and ability to do so. So let's stop this blessed report. Our beloved Messenger said to Allah, this is what reformed the earliest part of this ummah. Iman, yaqeen. And secondly, zuhud. In other words, not going into the things that are pleasing to the nafs only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now a zahid is somebody who is one who has got the ability to fulfill his desires. So for instance, you've got a millionaire and he doesn't do something for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's wearing humble clothes, for instance, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can wear, you know, the Shariah allows you to wear nice clothes, but he prefers to wear humble clothes for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is zuhud. A second type of zuhud, he's keeping away from certain types of foods and drinks. He goes, that's extravagance. I consider that to be extravagance. He could indulge in that, but he doesn't. So this is a zahid. You understand? A zahid is the one who has the full ability to fulfill his desires, but he does not. Somebody said to this man once, you are a zahid. The man rahmatullah alayhi said, no, that was Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi. He goes, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the great Umayyad Khalif, who had everything at his disposal, but he still lived a very simple life. So look how important these two things are. It reformed the earliest part of the Ummah, the Sahaba. Yaqeen and Zuhd. But then what's relevant to us is the second part. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, and the beginning of the degeneration of this Ummah is due to two things. Bukhl, that's miserliness. In other words, you start to covet. You don't like to give anymore, you start to covet things. And expectation of worldly goods. Constant desire and greed for worldly goods. The deadly combination. So now, if you look at this blessed report, what state then did you expect the ummah to be in? With such a large percentage of whom are absorbed with consumerism to obtain the biggest and best of every creature comfort, whilst at the same time their giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being negligible, let alone the giving of sadaqah. Many Muslims are not even now paying their obligatory zakat. So this is again a key narration with regards to what will bring this ummah back, right? And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this easy for us. I mean, the dangers of such characteristics are fatal. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, he related in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid states, Sahih, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst mentioning the fire, he said, the people of the fire are all those. Now look at these characteristics. So if you want to know what the characteristics of the people of the fire are, memorize this. The people of the fire are all those who are Number one, violent. Number two, pompous. Number three, arrogant. Number four, amassing wealth and property excessively. Amassing wealth and property excessively, i.e. and not giving it to the needy. And then the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst the dwellers of paradise are number one, the weak, i.e. the humble. Number two, and the oppressed, i.e. due to their very humility. So look at these horrific characteristics, a'udhu billah. How they spread, violent, very short fused. You say one word, he goes into a rage. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Tirmidhi, the worst of you are those who are quickest at getting angry and are slowest at losing it. Pompous, the show-off. You know, I'm better than the rest of the my next, keeping up with the Joneses, that mentality. Arrogant. And then the last one, fascinating. Amassing wealth and property excessively. Amassing wealth and property excessively. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba radiallahu, he goes, those of you who are nearest and dearest to me, who will be closest to me, are those who meet me in the same condition I leave them. I think this is in Sahih al-Bukhari. In other words, he told the Sahaba this. He goes, if you want to know which one of you will be closest to me, are those that when I leave this world, you are the same. So for example, Hazrat Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu, great Sahaba, Hazrat Abu Dhar radiallahu said, sufficient for me is a shade over my head. Livestock, in other words, a goat or two goats, and a wife. And then he said this, I still consider this too much of this world. Somebody goes, you consider this too much of the world, where does that leave us? So again, why? Because he goes, the Prophet said to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you've got to be the same when I meet you again. Hence, it is of the utmost importance to eradicate such illnesses which are invariably all linked to one's character and environment. An essential characteristic to obtain is ikhlas, sincerity in one's deeds. Look at Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu in Sahih Qalib al-Tayyib. Look at their mindset. This hadith will give you a glimpse into their mindset. Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu anha, what did she used to give sadaqah, but she'll tell her maid, memorize what the person says. So the maid would go give the money to the poor, and the person would say a dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Aisha radiyallahu anha for giving her, you know, words to this effect. When the maid memorized the words and came back, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, the same for him, the same for her. The same for him, the same for her. And she meant by this, I want the reward. She considered that to be losing reward in her pot. So look at their ikhlas. Even by giving, saying, Jazakallahu khairan, they thought, ooh, may Allah give you this as well. Why? Because they were thinking of the reward. This was their ikhlas. And yeah, it doesn't even go through our brain. Exactly, as you could memorize the words he says. In other words, I want to make sure that I return that, so I get the full reward. In Bayhaqi, in Shu'ab al-Iman, Hazrat Thawban radiallahu anhu related that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Tuba lil mukhlisin. Tuba lil mukhlisin. Glad tidings, or a tree of paradise, to those who are sincere. For they are illumination in the darkness, through whom are driven away the severest of trials. So look at how our beloved Messenger described the mukhlis, the sincere one. First he said to Allah alayhi wa sallam, they are like torches. Now what does a torch do? It gives you guidance in darkness. In other words, you were saying, these are the people who will give you guidance, because they're always concentrating on their intention for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You mentioned the hair with Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu for their intention. To whom are driven away the severest of trials. Examples. Our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of you are those who, when you see, they remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're the best of you. This is in Ibn Majah. What do you think the Sahaba were doing when they saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So they were just looking at the Prophet, the Imam must have been just shooting through the thermometer, as they say, because he was the best. Straight away they reminded them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the illumination in the darkness, and it takes away the trials. And a partial explanation of this is, when you've got worries and problems, and then you see a believer just living a simple life, then you look at that believer, you're thinking, what am I messed up with? Why am I stuck in this rat race? Look how simply he's living. The Prophet said in Ibn Majah, living a simple life is a sign of Iman. In other words, don't make life complicated for yourself. Look how simple the Sahaba were. They hated authority because they wanted to live their simple lives. As soon as they were offered authority, they go, Amir al-Mu'mineen, maybe you choose somebody else, and Hazrat Umar will give it to him. You may be the Khalifa, and you want to escape from authority, you better get going. And then they'd go, and then they'd come back with an excuse. All the people are saying this about me, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Hazrat Abu Huraira came back, radiyallahu. So again, how often does a person's life change to a sincere act from an individual? So I've mentioned this many times, I'll mention it again. Shaykh Nuh Hamim Kalas, the Shafi scholar, receiving of sadaqah by a woman in hijab, which ultimately led to his embracing Islam. This is what impressed him. He was studying psychology, and he was in Syria at the time, and he wore those very simple clothes that he always wears. So a woman in hijab thought he was a miskin. So she walked past, put it into his hand some money, and she walked past. So Shaykh Nuh's thinking, because he's a psychologist, he's thinking, what's the matlab? There's got to be a reason for this. Why did she just walk past? Who is that woman? I don't even know who he is. His mind's going into overdrive. And when he asks, one of the Muslims says, he explained to him the concept of ikhlas. So she doesn't want anybody to know that she's giving you sadaqah, because this is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, this led to my embracing Islam. So all of Shaykh Nuh Hamim Kalas deeds going to that woman's account. So all those things that he's doing now, imagine it. The sawwa for the rest of it. And what caused it? The little act of sincerity. Shaykh Hamza Yusuf Hansen al-Maliki, his weeping and recollection of his teacher's simple, unchanged and unpolluted life for the last 70 years in the Mauritanian desert. Or the Mauritanian desert, he just keeps weeping when he mentions his teacher. He goes, he's lived his life the way he's lived it for 70 years, and he's shedding buckets. Why? Because he mentioned tahajjud. He said, we all know the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the Sahaba prayed for a third of the night, the Prophet prayed for whole of the night. Many hadiths, we've heard it again and again. So Shaykh Hamza Yusuf al-Maliki mentions, I saw it. Imagine being in that environment, people are just getting up doing tahajjud for one third of the night. And you mean, what's happening here? And then he goes back to America and he's thinking, are we on the same planet? So again, these are the acts, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned when he said, through whom are driven away the severest of trials. Shaykh Abdul Yusuf al-Maliki mentioned that in America, once one of his teachers came, he wasn't the same Shaykh, there's another teacher of his, and he was a very simple man. And he goes, he was on one of those, those escalators that just move forward, don't go up, just move forward. So, he started to trip, he thought, what's this? He's never seen an escalator before. And then Shaykh Hamza mentioned, you stand on it, and then and then it automatically makes you move forward. So the Shaykh told him, subhanAllah, he goes, this is dunya. You think that you're in one place, but you're moving forward all the time. Right? So Shaykh Hamza Yusuf al-Maliki mentioned, this is what they're like. Because they're the fitra, they protected their fitra, and they see things that we just, we don't even reflect upon. Because this is like dunya, because you think you're in one place, but you're moving forward. It is no wonder then that in Bayhaqi, in his Shu'ab al-Iman, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what is Iman? He mentioned one word, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ikhlas. What is Iman? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ikhlas, sincerity. It is also very important to note that Hazrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Bayhaqi in Shu'ab al-Iman, if a man was to do a deed within a rock which had neither a door or a window, his deed would still become known to the people. Like today, it happened to be today. I'll give you an example of this. I took my mother to the optician. So I went in the morning and I sat down. Another brother with his mother as well. He brought his mother down, mashallah. Brother Omer. And he goes, what are you doing here, Yusuf? I goes, what are you doing here? Right? In other words, he doesn't talk about these things because he's doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Even if you go into a rock, and that optician looks like a rock, it's a very small place. You know, 1920s design. Right? And the Prophet said that. In other words, that thing in your heart, which people want, they want people to know about their, you know, their deeds. Allah ta'ala, his promise is he will show those deeds. Look at the sahaba, innit? Look at the deeds they did, and look how careful they were to hide it from people. Allah Ta'ala break his promise, when they're going through their lives, like they're doing public display of it. Look at the Prophet Allah, everything about him we know. Then you got the Khilafah Rashidin, it's like you're living every day with them, and yeah, they were very scared of, you know, publicizing their deeds. This is a promise. So again, why do you want people to know about your deeds? If the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, even if you do it in a rock, you will expose it. In Tarjuman al-Sunnah, our blessed scholars, rahmatullah alayh, went on to say, when a deed of whatever nature will nevertheless become known, then why should those who engage in good deeds then spoil them by the intention of pretense? In other words, why are you spoiling it? Allah Ta'ala is going to give you that. And there's a report. I don't want to go into all these reports. You can ask me after. In Ibn Asakir, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu explained further, you must be more concerned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance of your deeds than the deeds themselves. For no deed is considered small if it is accompanied by piety, i.e. sincerity. So what did the great Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu say? He goes, the more important thing you must always ask, question yourself, is about the sincerity of the deed. The deed comes second. Sincerity comes first. Because if that's not so, that, you're wasting your time. Look at those three men that go to hell. One was a scholar. Scholar, what was he doing? Giving bayans, innit? Right? One was a scholar. One was a shaheed. What was he doing? He gave his life, innit? One was a generous person. What was he doing? Giving his money. What destroyed them? They are. One of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to the scholar in Sahih Muslim. Why did I give you knowledge? And the scholar goes, oh Lord, I you gave me so I could share it with others and benefit everybody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes, you learned the sacred knowledge so people would call you a scholar. Go to hell. And Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, the fire of hell is heated first for these people. And the second person, the shaheed. Imagine when he's dead, la la, and everybody goes, oh, subhanAllah, subhanAllah, let's do janazah for him. Oh, there's no janazah, they just put him into the grave. Look at the honor everybody's talking about, because we don't know what state the person's in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes, why did you give your life? And he goes, oh Lord, I give my life for you, to show my love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes, you gave your life, so people would call you a shaheed. And people said that, take him to hell. And then the third person, the generous person, why did you give money? Why did you give money? Left, right, and center. What did he say? I gave it because you love generosity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes, you gave money so people would call you generous. Look at the three answers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. You learn knowledge so people would call you a scholar. You gave your life so people would call you a shaheed. You gave money so people would call you generous. What destroys them? Ikhlas. They have no understanding of ikhlas, the purity of the deed. This is what Hazrat Ali was saying, you must be more concerned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance of your deeds. And Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he quoted this hadith in Tirmidhi, Hassan Gharib, he would faint. This Tabeen came to me, because, honorable companion radiallahu anhu, tell me a hadith you've heard directly from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Huraira goes, yes, I will. And then he's in his dwelling, and I don't know what he does first. He's just about to start the hadith, he faints. When he faints, the Tabeen thinks, what about us? He comes back around, he goes, rest, I'm going to mention a hadith. He builds his courage up, he faints again. The third time, he manages to quote the hadith. Now, why was he fainting? Because he considered himself to be like that scholar. He goes, people are calling me the great narrator of hadith. And he started to faint. Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, in Tirmidhi, Hassan Gharib, he would weep so much upon this hadith that his beard would become wet. Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, when he heard that hadith, he cried so much, he couldn't stop crying. Why? Because they know how important it is. They understood that you can't mess with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand? You must always question, what is this for? Is there some hidden motive, audibullah? Hajjal rahmatullah alayhi in his Al-Zawajir states, this is a saying of the scholars, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So Zahabi rahmatullah alayhi said this is a hadith. Hafiz ibn Hajjal rahmatullah alayhi said no, it's a statement of one of the Salaf, Allahu alayhi. So either from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or from the Salaf rahmatullah alayhi, it mentions a person who does something only for the sake of showing off and reputation is then exactly like a person who fills up his bike or purse with pebbles and goes to the market to buy something with his bike. Eventually when he opens his purse in front of the salesman and offers them to him, the salesman then naturally throws them in his face. Thus there is no benefit to him from his purse except for people saying that your purse is full. Except for people saying that your purse is full, but in reality he cannot get anything in exchange for this. So look how beautiful that saying is. People say, MashaAllah brother, you cracked, eh? I'll give you a crack. Well, you say, I've cracked before. Right? Why? Because how do you know I've cracked it? I might be the scum of the earth. Right? And look at this beautiful analogy. You keep feeling that little bug in it. I used to be a taxi driver. I understand this. I had a bag in my pocket and the money was in the bag and I kept feeling it every now and again. Yes, it's been a good night. Imagine there's only pebbles in there. You know, it's a good night in it, but there's nothing in there. What are you doing? But people say, your bag's full. In other words, there's nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when you try to exchange it, for paradise or pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can't get nothing with it. So again, either this is a hadith or a saying of the scholars. In Tabarani, Bayhaqi ibn Asakir Abu Nu'aym Targhib Zahbi in his Kabair, Hazrat Adi ibn Hatif, the great Sahaba Christian who embraced Islam, he reported that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that some people would almost be made to enter paradise. So they're almost there. They go, yes, we cracked it. Then they'll be turned away. At the last moment, astaghfirullah, we get upset if somebody, you're going to a queue in it, you're at the post office, maybe a bad example. You're waiting patiently, and then you're there, shoulders come down. How do you feel? You come out with swears and blurting. You made me stand half an hour outside you. And he goes, it's lunch. What do you want me to do? I can't serve you. So you get upset over that. Well, what about this? You're in the queue of paradise. Last moment, turn him away. The Prophet then said, they will turn away with such a regret and sorrow that neither those before them nor those after them ever turned away with. If you want to experience grief, that's the grief. They will then say, and look what the words they use, oh Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you had admitted us to the fire before showing us what we have seen of the reward you have prepared for your followers, it would have been easier for us. Now why did they say this? Why did you show us paradise? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Sahih Hadith, hearing is not like seeing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't, because we heard about paradise, you got a yearning for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates these people so much, because I'm going to make them see it. So they see it and they will then say, why do you make us see paradise? Allah the Almighty and Glorious then says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is exactly what I intended for you. You used to commit great sins against my will in privacy. But then when you were amongst people, you were humble towards them, showing them your good deeds, quite opposite to what you gave me in your heart. You feared people, you didn't fear me. You venerated people, you did not venerate me. Your renunciation was for people, it was not for me. Therefore today, I am going to make you taste my grievous punishment. Besides, in addition, which you have tasted, withholding my abundant reward from you. Get out of my sight. There you go. Congratulations. Chaka sahab, he did it for him. right? Or he did it for so and so. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows exactly what's taking place. In one hadith, the Prophet said, in Sahih At-Targhib, Allah the Almighty will humiliate a person on the Day of Judgment who does deeds for sure. He's going to humiliate you. And there you go. What greater humiliation can there be? When you see paradise, you're turned away, and then that's it. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Reflect upon this. He says, when you were in your private dwelling, you were committing sins left, right and center. But when you were amongst people, you gave that beautiful show. Look how noble this person is. He goes, you did opposite to me, because you showed them more respect than me. And then you feared people, you didn't fear me. You venerated people. So this is why it's called shirk, the minor shirk. Is one of the gravest sins. The Prophet said in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Sahih Hadith and Ibn Majah, I fear for you something even more than the Dajjal. Sahabu aghast, he goes, oh Messenger of Allah, what do you fear for us more than the Dajjal? He goes, Riya, beautifying your deeds for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's so hidden. Look how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. He's so hidden, he detects it. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can detect it. In fact, in a hadith in Abu Nu'aym, even the recording angels sometimes can't detect it. So they write you a good deed, because they can't see that much into your intention. And then on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no good. No, he starts taking those, and then the angels start, you know, they think, oh my God, oh Lord, because we were just. In other words, where did I get the full works now? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, the noble angels, kiram and qatibin, he's called them noble. He goes, you didn't know, you couldn't see the intention behind this. Look at that. Right? That's why the Prophet said, ikhlas, the deen is ikhlas. In a narration which confirms the above, in Ibn Abi Dunya Zahbi in his Kaba'ir, a man asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is salvation? He replied, salvation is you must never try to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the bayakufi of it. You know, we say with our lips, no, we don't, you know, Allah ta'ala, we can't deceive you. And you're trying it on. What sort of a, you know, hypocrite is that? He goes, you must never ever try to deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The man asked in surprise, sahab, he goes, Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how can you deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In other words, which bayakuf would even think that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, through doing a deed bidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but intended for the sake of someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I exhort you again, guard yourself against riya, because that is the little shirk. This is the smaller shirk. On the Day of Judgment, the hypocrite, the munafiq, will be called above the heads of the people by four names. O munafiq, O hypocrite, O deceitful one, O you faithless one, O you loser, your deeds are wasted, your reward is cancelled, hence now we do not have any reward for you. Go and collect your reward from the one for whose sake you did your deeds, you imposter. Absolute humiliation. This is what the Prophet said, because you're going to be humiliated in front of everybody. And look how embarrassing it is when people get to find out in your own home what you've done. Forget about the whole Day of Judgment. Your mom and dad find something out, you want them to find out. You won't even want to go back home. I can't show my face. What? Yeah, I'm sorry. You can't show your face to your mom and dad. They found out. What about on Day of Judgment? In Ibn al-Mubarak, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to our recording angels, this is the hadith. From memory, you are only the recorders of the actions of my servants, but I am the discerning one who knows what is in their secret hearts. This particular soul whom you considered pious was not truly seeking me through those devotional deeds, but something other than me. Hence my displeasure is now upon this soul. Even the recording angels, think about that, kiram and qatibin, the noble angels can't detect it. Somebody goes to you, If they can't detect it, who can? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're trying to deceive him. Astaghfirullah. In another narration in Dar al-Qutni, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the exalted and glorious subhanahu wa ta'ala will instruct the angels alayhi salam, reject those particular deeds, accept only those. The angels will then be in extreme anxiety. We swear by your divine power that we see only good in those deeds which you command us to reject. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you didn't know what the intention was. This is despite the fact that our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had instructed us with regards to these noble angels in Bayhaqi. Let the one of you be ashamed. Let the one of you be ashamed of your two angels alayhi salam that accompany him, just as he would feel ashamed of two righteous neighbors who are with him day and night. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his haya was unbelievable. And then the Sahaba's haya was unbelievable. These two angels, they felt so ashamed because you can't hide from these angels. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, show them honor, be ashamed of them, like you've always got two saints with you. If one saint was to your right, one saint was to your left, would you start swearing? Would you stop, coming out with some stupid remark? You just keep your head down and... What's that hadith again? In Zahabi and his Kabair, how aptly did the noble Fudail ibn Iyad rahmatullah alayh put it when he said, refraining from doing something for the sake of people is hypocrisy. Look at these words. To stop doing something for the sake of people, he goes, that's hypocrisy. And doing something for people's approval is kufr. And sincerity lies in the protection against both. SubhanAllah, so what was this great man saying, rahmatullah alayh? So for instance, I'm not going to do this, people are watching me, because that's a sign of a hypocrite. So you could argue over that point, well hang on a minute, but you're arguing with Fadil, rahmatullah alayh. Then he said, and then doing something for people's approval, that's kufr. But then he says, ikhlas is right in the middle. That's how difficult it is to tread, because you are on both ways destroying yourself. Example, you're going to do a good deed, but then somebody sees you, and you go, oh, I'm not going to do it now, he's watching me. Why have you let shaitan disturb you from doing a good deed? For they have said that's a sign of a hypocrite, that's a hypocrisy. Then of course the other self-explanatory, you do it for somebody else, that's kufr. So again, telling the fine line. And regards to riyah, I'll just mention a few of the reports. This is in Tablisi Iblis, that means the devil's tricks. Astaghfirullah. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi was doing a talk, beautiful sermon, and this man in the audience went, SubhanAllah. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi stopped right in his tracks and he singled that man out, which is amazing. He goes, why did you say SubhanAllah? And then before he could even answer, he goes, if you'd said SubhanAllah, so people could see you, you've got this. If you wanted to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did you say it loud? And then he continued with his talk. Now why did he stop this talk? He said, what are you doing? Drawing attention to yourself. Nari takbir. Everybody turns around, where is that guy? What's he doing? Oh, is that guy there? Right? And then he goes, yeah, it's me. Nari takbir. That's his name, isn't it? Right? And then, what if a scholar stops the talk? Just imagine this, isn't it? An alim stops and points to you like that. Did you just say Nari takbir? And you go, yes, I said it. You think he's going to give you a praise or something? And then he gives you the same response that Hasan al-Basri gave, rahmatullah alayh. He says, you said it. So people could see you, they've seen you. If you're saying it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no need for your tongue. Look how scared they were of riyah. Look how scared they were. One, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, somebody asked him about riyah. The person who asked Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh was an alim. An alim is asking a mujtahid imam, what is riyah? Which means it's not easy to explain. Imam Shafi said to the alim, this is my advice to you. He goes, do your talks, share your knowledge. But when you speak and you feel that you're better than everybody else, immediately stop your talk. And remain silent as well. Don't talk. But then, if you notice that when you are not talking, you feel that you're better than everybody else, start talking. Because that's my advice to you. Look at the state these people were in. In other words, like just sitting by himself like this, Imam Shafi. His mind is thinking thoughts like this. People think I'm an ODR. So he starts talking. He goes, come on, mashallah, everything all right, you know, and he starts talking all of a sudden. But then when he's doing a talk, suddenly, subhanAllah, bihamdi, subhanAllah, just finishes it, cuts it short. Because he's thinking, now I think I'm better than these people. Riya, vanity, pride kicking in. Right, so this is the state, another example. This is in Tablisi Iblis. There was a man doing a talk, and he started to weep, you know, his tears started coming out from his eyes. He got a cloth from his pocket. He wiped his eyes, and he goes, forgive me, I've got a cold. Forgive me, I'm ill. Now what he was doing was, when he started to weep, he thought, oh my God, these people are going to start thinking I'm some sort of, you know, awliya. So he's thinking, how am I going to get out of this? So he got a cloth out, and he was ill, he had, you know, maybe a sore throat or something. He goes, oh no, my eyes are watering because I've got a cold, I'm ill. Look at the sincerity of these people. Look how concerned they were about their deeds. You understand? And look at us, isn't it? Astaghfirullah. And he goes to, you know, like, you do it. You do that one good deed, innit? And even that one deed that you've hidden, Shaitan keeps pumping you. Come on, say it. Tell somebody. And then a year down the line, yes, you might have given sadaqah, but one day in Pakistan, astaghfirullah. So, ikhlas, that's why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. He created death and life that he might put you to the test and find out which of you does the beautiful deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is his test. Forget about all these little tests that we're going through, innit? Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's test is he's finding out which of you are capable of doing أحسن عملا. Ahsanu amala means the beautiful deeds, the sincere deeds. Allah the Almighty and Glorious did not say aktharu amala. Aktharu amala means the most deeds. The Prophet ﷺ said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu in Tabarani, it's Hasan Hadith, O Mu'adh, never look down upon a single deed, because that one deed may take you to paradise. Now what the scholars of the Hadith have mentioned about this blessed Hadith is to do not with the, it's only one good deed in numerical, in number, but what the Prophet was imbibing into the Sahaba was you could have such ikhlas behind that deed, it makes you worthy of paradise. Look at the objective the Prophet was getting through to the Sahaba sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiyallahu anhu. Once Hazrat Aisha gave a grape in sadaqah. When she gave the grape in sadaqah, this is in Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, one of the maidservants goes, you've given one grape. Numerical thought, you've given one grape. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, subhanallah, how many atoms in that grape? In other words, I'm sure my Lord will give me the reward of the atoms. Suddenly that one becomes what? How many, you know, it's ridiculous. One grain of salt, there's billions of atoms. So what about a grape? So Hazrat Aisha was saying, this deed might take me to paradise. Why are you belittling it? In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, a Bedouin came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He goes, oh Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me advice, but keep it short. In other words, I'm an ignorant Bedouin. I just want something small that I can get into my life. Look what the Messenger of Allah told him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never ever belittle a good deed, even if it is pouring water into your brother's bucket. Never ever belittle a good deed. Now why did he say that sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because he's telling him, this is the concept, this is our understanding of the deed. In Abu Dawood, in Sahih Muslim, sorry, the Prophet ﷺ said, there was a man walking on a path, and a branch was in the way of the path. He broke the branch. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him paradise because of this. In another hadith in Abu Dawood, Sahih, the Prophet ﷺ clarified something even more amazing. This man had never ever done a good deed. That's the only deed he did. In other words, he believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, didn't commit shirk, but he was messed up big time. But that one thing he did with the branch, he did that, that was the one sincere deed he did, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him paradise because of it. Now imagine if somebody goes, why did you do that? The bigger thing to do is just breaking branches in the path. So every time somebody does a good deed, you should always say, Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me this tawfiq. Like a brother, he was taxiing once, he had some customers in his car. Right? I won't mention his name. And he was driving, and obviously there's women in the car, all sorts. He's chatting to him. All of a sudden he just slams his brakes off. So they're thinking, what's happening here? The taxi driver doing the runner. Right? So then he gets out of the car, and there's something on the road. There's some, I don't know what it was, some, you know, object on the road. He moved it to the side, got it back into the car. He started driving, and he told me this. And then he says, they asked him, why did you stop for? He goes, oh, in Islam, you know, our Prophet Allah told us that moving something off the road is charity. Right? And then he didn't mention that, he told that to the, obviously give him dawat. But look how the dawat he did. He didn't just go give him a hadith. He showed the, he displayed the deed, then he told them. And they go, they were really impressed by that. But then I told him, I was, that one good deed, what do you think of it? And then he goes, well, inshallah, you know, one good deed. And I go, my deed might give you paradise. And he goes, hey, why is that? And then I mentioned the concept of ikhlas to him. So again, when you get the opportunity, get these deeds in. Okay, so is there any questions on that? So all I discussed there was riya and ikhlas and how important it is to purify your intention. Is there any questions you want to ask there? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم